Good morning, everyone. We welcome you all to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion with a topic of ancient and modern necromancy, alias mesmerism, and hypnotism denounced. We're so glad you could join us today, and we are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, in the United States of America. And we welcome you all today. We'll start with our morning prayer.
I'm reading from page 149 of Mary Baker Eddy's Lessons of the Seventh Day, the Brown Book. May the gentle presence of divine love so reward your lives that you shall so rise in faith and understanding as never to doubt or dread in a single conflict with evil. God, the divine love that is your life, will govern it. Take courage and trust in this love with all your heart. And because of this childlike faith, good will deliver you from the sense of evil and the sense of material sense, and establish your way in truth and rightness. Mary Baker Eddy.
Beautiful. Thank you, Florence. Okay, the watching point, Karen.
Watch number 430. Watch lest you yield to the temptation to look at yourself humanly as such a hopeless specimen of a sinner that you seem no good to yourself or anyone else. Once Mrs. Eddy wrote, quote, "Do not look to matter to tell you your success, but look up. For your harvest is right at hand. You know the Father's love. Trust it. Then, when you hear a whisper, quote, now you are a sinner and so is your punishment. This suffering is the consequence. Put it out. Put it out. Animal magnetism says you are a sinner when you know you are not. Then empty your thought of fear and say, I look to God, my Father, to see what I am. He alone can tell me of myself." End quote. The man who has done wrong must acknowledge that wrong in order to be healed. He must say, the animal magnetism which I have allowed to use me is the sinner, and I have a duty to perform in destroying the hold I have permitted it to have on me. I have permitted a lie to represent me, and I must pay the price. But the lie is the sinner and not me. I will watch more carefully in the future to be sure that I do not let animal magnetism represent me, the image and likeness of God. In science, we should let animal magnetism take the punishment for sin, and we should escape that punishment by escaping from animal magnetism. But man is the perfect child of God. But man, as the perfect child of God, should never admit that he is a sinner.
Thank you. Okay, comments.
It flies in the face of scholastic theology. That's kind of the basic Christian belief that you're a sinner and that you're always going to be a sinner and you always have to be thankful that you're being saved from your sinfulness, but you're always identifying with being a sinner.
Thank you very much. That's it. You're born into matter, you're born into sin, and you're going to die out of it. And everything in between, as we've said, is not good. So Christian Science is exactly the opposite. And here it makes a clear delineation between, you know, the sin, animal magnetism, and the person. You always keep it separate. So it's very excellent in that. Anybody else?
Yeah, I've known a lot of Christians that are really proud that they're a sinner.
Yeah, true. And you have known a lot of Christians. Anyone else?
Yeah, I also like, I love the hymn 51, where he says, God could not make imperfect man, his model infinite. I love that because it really brings me to the point of knowing that the truth of your of my being, and that for everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes. And that way you can rebuke the sin impersonally and get rid of it, but the man remains perfect, the child of God. And that includes yourself first, and then anywhere else you might see it.
Mm-hmm. That impersonalizing evil or good is the whole key, and it's the hardest thing, and it's the greatest thing.
And who else was speaking?
Yeah, how else can you even begin to demonstrate perfection if you hold in your thought constantly the opposite, you know? You can never get there.
Mm-hmm. Miscellany 242, he says that.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Yeah, before we go.
I like this. Okay, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, please.
I was just going to say that last sentence of Mrs. Eddy, I use this a lot for a lot of reasons, but I look to God, my Father, to see what I am. He alone can tell me of myself. So if we're always looking into Him and asking Him, you tell me who I am, you show me who I am, what I can do, if we are always doing that, then we'll always get the right answer. And we see our oneness with God. And so that's.
Thank you. Very, very true. Very good. That's it. Sure, go ahead, Zari.
I was just going to say that this is very, very up for me right now. It's very important as well, because this personalizing is important. Because once we start making the reality of something, then it's much harder. So we have to also see that everybody's included in this. So the error comes to just be seen for what it is, nothing. But that's the hard thing right now.
Yeah. Thank you. Who else, Florence? Was that you?
No, I was just going to say that quote can be found in the Blue Book as well as the Brown Book, page 145. Do not look to matter to tell you your success. But look to God. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. One announcement. This was made at the membership meeting, but we're going to be announcing it probably for a little while now. And that is Jeremy is now going to be listed as a practitioner. As I said, on Thursday evening, I could say, as Mrs. Eddy said about Calvin Fry, I've never known him to disobey any of the Ten Commandments. He's been with us since June 5th. He's been here 12 years almost.
Yeah,
right?
2013.
And right from the beginning, he faithfully worked and did whatever was given to him, demonstrated whatever was given to him. And those of you who know him know how wise and good he is. And those of you who have never met him in person know him by his testimonies and things he's contributed. And of course, he's in charge of our website and done such a beautiful job, and he will not give that job up. We have Benjamin now working full time on it as well. And also Linda does a lot, but he's just going to have to manage his time, which I know he will. Florence, go ahead.
Oh, now I wasn't going to say anything. I said it before. I said that this is a promotion. It's God who promotes, and I never came here looking to be that, and I'm sure he didn't either. So I'm so happy that he joined the force.
Thank you. That's right. We sure do need the help. I certainly talked to Florence before the decision was made. We've needed the help. I've been looking around, and and he was really the first one who enthusiastically accepted and told me it was an honor, which is the right thing to say, because it is. It's a great honor. All right, so today, this lesson, I could probably go on and on for hours. There's so much in it. And we're going to really tackle this fear business, because this lesson does handle fear, because that's what ancient and modern necromancy, alias mesmerism, hypnotism denounced is. It's trying to tell us evil is real, and therefore we need to fear it. And Mrs. Eddy over and over and over tells us it is an illusion, the delusion. When you're entrenched in it, it doesn't seem that way. It seems extremely real. But just as in a dream, it seems very real. Or I've never been hypnotized by a hypnotist, but if you've ever seen one, I mean, they really think whatever the hypnotist is saying, they think it's going on. Bob in Colorado sent us a video of someone lying on the floor swimming, you know, because they were told they were in the water. And it looks ridiculous because they're on the floor, but they actually thought they were in the water swimming. So the point being, when you're hypnotized by something, it looks real, it seems real, everything about it looks very real, but it is not, because it is, if it is not of God, it is not real. So we will start out with a golden text.
Revelation. Alleluia. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God.
Now, every good treatment starts with this, the absolute knowledge of the all power of God. Over and over, Mrs. Eddy tells us to do this. It is in, I will read it from Mary Baker Eddy, her spiritual footsteps. She instructed her students. The morning watch hour was from 9 to 10, when each student returned to his or her room to do the mental work to destroy fear and to recognize the presence and power of God as supreme in the home as well as in the whole universe. This work did not vary from day to day, except when special instructions were needed and given to us. Every morning for an hour, all the students in Mrs. Eddy's home handled fear. And by doing that, they established the oneness and the all power of God until they no longer felt fearful. That's how you do it. And she had to have it in her home, didn't she? Because if she didn't, couldn't work the way she needed to work. So,
and they couldn't either.
No. So, I mean, it behooves us to take this advice, and maybe this is what we need to do, especially when you're so overrun with the fear. She also, in things to handle daily, she says that, you know, you sit and you work until you get a sense of your dominion, until you get a sense of the power of God. And she said, 2 hours all day, whatever it takes to do it, you do it. And then you go forth to do your work. And you will go forth with authority and with the power of Christ. Now, in the article by Bicknell Young, Christian Science, Protective Work, which I've really asked you all, if you're a serious worker, you should be working with this. Bicknell Young says to work with it for a half an hour every morning. And he discusses treatment. A treatment is the work and the word of God. It does not return unto him void, but it is final and complete in its effects and the results thereof. Sometimes when you feel you cannot get results, declare the truth in this manner. This treatment is the very essence, power, presence, and activity of infinite and perfect good. It does its work because it is God with us, and it does wipe out, obliterate, and destroy. It reduces to its native nothingness any mortal belief in a power apart from God. That's, we've learned, that's the definition of animal magnetism. You are believing there is some other power other than God. Therefore, you are believing in a Satan. And that we will not do. God is the only power. God is the only life. There is no law of reversal. Mental malpractice cannot make a law to reverse, cannot act through a belief of fear, For perfect love casteth out fear, 1 John. And God is love. And then, mental malpractice cannot operate through a belief of weather, climate, or atmosphere to touch me or to affect me in any way. This is only mental suggestion. Now, think about that. This is our weather committee, too. And also, all of this belief of allergy. This is a belief of weather, climate, atmosphere. And you don't have to have it. It's not of God. No one said it except error, and we don't listen to that. It cannot affect me in any way. It's only mental suggestion. And then this, never be afraid of fear. It is only mesmerism. Communion with God is the law which destroys the presence of seeming evil at all time. These are facts. These are truths. Now think about that. Fear itself is mesmerism. How do you destroy it? Communion with God is the law which destroys the presence of it. You get with God. You demonstrate your oneness. You start talking to the Father. And then these facts are truths. This is the truth. We are taught this isn't the truth. We're taught other things are truth, but the other things are lies. This is the truth. As we've learned from the Bible, from the early prophets, from Christ Jesus, and from Mrs. Eddy, who we recognize as the woman in the apocalypse. She wasn't just some nice lady writing a few things down. Then truth is infinite. It has no opposition. It has no competitor. Truth is omnipotent, omnipresent. So error of any name or nature has neither power nor presence. Truth is its own utterance, its own impulsion. It is irresistible. Nothing can withstand it. Nothing can delay, hinder, or limit its activities or affect its affirmations. Nothing can ever limit its capacity for expression. In fact, it is the Word of God, which shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it, Isaiah. That is how you work until you've established in your own consciousness the all power of God and the nothingness of this little flea called error. As Mrs. Eddy says, it comes to you for life, and you give it all the life it has by listening to it, by acknowledging it, by thinking about it, by saying it's gone on for this length of years, and my mother had it, and my Aunt Tilly had it, and I'm having it, and everybody has it. No, that's not how we have that talk in our head. Florence, did you want to say something?
Well, I think what is helpful is if we are told and we have to accept it that God love fills all space, and it is love that destroys fear. So if I'm knowing that, no, that's why I say go to God, talk to God. You know, God is love, and love will destroy the fear. Yeah.
Thank you. You know, in the lesson, love designates, inspires, illumines, and leads the way.
Leads the way.
And if we ever lose our love, we've lost everything. So always make sure your heart has that sense of love in it. And you are the image of love. Therefore, you can express that love always. Thank you.
Just wanted to say from that article, I love how it talks about truth having no competitor. And it reminds me of Mrs. Eddy saying the Gabriel of his presence has no contest. And I love that.
Thank you. You know, it might try. It might rage and roar. It might say, you know, in business situation, I'm better than you. I'm more powerful. I have more education. I'm this, I'm that. That's the Goliath that David killed with a little stone. It has no power unless you give it to him or her. So... And in that things to handle daily, get your consciousness into first get yourself into a consciousness of your power with God, and then take up the outside watch. Sit until this is clear, if 2 hours. And then You can make the right side real to your consciousness. Every day you have to do this. You have to acknowledge God's presence. It's wonderful. These things to handle daily are wonderful. And then in that story of Elisha and his servant, there's a beautiful article. Carrie sent me another load of just beautiful articles. It seems to be this limitless supply. I'm so grateful. This was called Elisha's Servant by Blanche Percy Hogue. And it says, the one who would be saved from believing in evil must spiritualize his own point of view until the heavenly hosts become real and abiding to him. Then in every encounter with his own temptations, the myriad wheels of evil roll back into the darkness from whence they came and are no more. And then Elisha's servant saw more than the divine chariots. He saw that Elisha's point of view had been spiritual during the time his had been material, that the help is always at hand, only awaiting discovery by a spiritualized consciousness. And that in the same situation where he had seen disaster and would have had it, Elisha saw and had deliverance. You see, if he had seen the disaster, he would have had it. He would have manifested what he thought. Surely this experience is explained by Mrs. Eddy's statement on page 265 of Science and Health. The truth of being is perennial, and the error is seen only when we look from the wrong points of observation. Isn't that something? Also to remember and to understand the rescue of Elisha and his servant quickens the heart of the 20th century Christian to a better understanding of the lines in this beautiful hymn that we sing. Oh, blessed is he to whom is given the instinct that can tell that God is on the field when he is
invisible.
You know, often think of that. When you think he's not there, he is there. Just as Elisha knew when everything seemed disastrous that there were all these angels all around them. The servant was, oh, alas, master, what are we ever going to do? And so he opened his eyes to see what was there. So we must always have our eyes open, awake, and alert, which leads to another. And this goes to the alertness and maintaining a place above mortal turmoil to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is another article Carrie sent. And we all know it. This is why we watch. This is why we pray. We have to be alert. Otherwise, the era, when era speaks, if you're not alert, what'll happen?
No, listen to it.
Yeah, you'll believe it. And you'll believe it. So she talks about alert, standing, picture of those faithful sentinels from commanding positions on the mountaintops or other elevated places, keeping watchful eye. And then in this article, which is by Mary Johnson, she quotes Mrs. Eddy's alertness to duty, which we're to work with every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the duty of every member of this church to defend himself daily against aggressive mental suggestions and not to be made to forget nor to neglect his duty to God, to his leader, and to mankind. So in the morning when you get all these suggestions, you don't feel well, you don't feel like doing it, you're tired, things aren't going your way, those are aggressive mental suggestions. Error in belief does not play nice. It's aggressive. And you have to be equally or more so aggressive with it and say, the hell you say, dig your feet in and or heels in. And don't let it boss you and push you around.
Mm-hmm.
God is your strength and power, and he maketh your way perfect. So he goes on to say, when one is on a height, he can see more clearly. His vision is not obstructed by material obstacles. His horizon is wider, his view more beautiful. In order to reach the spiritual height upon which one may stand and look around, one must rise above the testimony of the material senses. And again, one does this by contemplating the nature of God, omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient divine mind, and of the true man, the real man, made in God's image and likeness. Such vision is gained by affirming with understanding and conviction the allness of God good, and by denying emphatically and persistently the possibility of any other power or presence, by refusing to admit the testimony of the material sense, and by planting one's feet firmly and without faltering on the testimony of the spiritual sense. Thus do we reach the secret place of the Most High, that height or elevation from which we may survey the universe of God's creating. Again, how do you get rid of the fear? By turning from it and communing with God, by acknowledging his presence and power. Trust me, if you do this, the fear will go because it has no power. I've had to learn to do this because I was the biggest scaredy cat on earth.
I have to say, also, anybody in the church is actually accomplishing important things in the church has had to learn to do this, because this church happens to be the center of independent Christian Science, and the devil doesn't like it. Mortal mind, so-called, in belief, doesn't like it, because Christian Science is mortal mind's destroyer, if you will, because there is only one mind. So, you know, the attacks on people who are doing really good work will seem to be substantial. And if you can learn to put on the whole armor of God, if you can learn to strengthen your citadel and stand up to the errors that would try to keep you from doing what God wants you to do, it's incredible. The growth will be immense.
And remember, that's what we know. We always know when these suggestions come, they are designed to make us forget or neglect our duty to God, to our leader, and to mankind. They're designed to do that.
I mean, it's almost comical because every Wednesday, people who are reading will have something come up in during the day to disturb them. Or on Sunday, someone's going to read, well, guaranteed, something's going to come up to try to disturb you. Be prepared. And don't be dismayed. And don't give into it. Stand up to it, and you will be victorious.
And what a comfort it is to know that, and then to say in the moment, oh, it's Wednesday.
And that's what we all do here. It's Wednesday. And very often, and probably Florence gets it too, on Wednesday, everybody calls with, oh, my, I'm this, I'm that. It's Wednesday. It wants you out of the box. It doesn't want you in church. It doesn't want you testifying. It just wants you scared, believing.
Quiet.
Yeah.
And it'll seem to be your very weak spot because, as was just said, it's tailored for you.
Exactly. It's not your weak spot. How are you going to fall for it?
Yeah.
Well, that's why it's important for us to learn what our weak spots are.
Set a 10-minute timer.
Well, that's why it's important for us to learn what our weak spots are. And the only way we can learn what our weak spots are is to actually learn from our mistakes, be humble enough to admit them, and learn from them. And that's how we grow, and that's how we fortify, make our weak spots our strong points.
Yeah, when Mrs. Evans was around during her classes, we were always having to stand up and tell her what our Achilles heel was, what our weak spot was, how error would try to get to us, and then make sure we shored that weak spot up. And in the lesson, mankind must learn that evil is not power. The so-called despotism is but a phase of nothingness. Christian Science despoils the kingdom of evil. And it says, what is sin? It's a personification of evil. It's dishonesty and craftiness. That's what the wiles of the devil are. Now, we prove that the devils, the so-called devil, is nothing. We prove its nothingness. But in belief, it seems to be something. So we have to prove its nothingness. And we can, and we do, and this is how. But it would seem to be crafty to get you off guard or get you some cherished thing you have that it's got you upset about. That's why we put everything on God's altar. We give it all to God. We're free.
And much in the same way that if you say you get a text message and it says like you owe money or, you know, something like that, if you realize it's a fake thing, and it doesn't have any power anymore.
Well, thank you. And that's another thing. I mean, I've gotten these, AI is very busy, and they can create things that make you think you're getting messages that just are not true. And the only way, our only defense right now, and Mrs. Eddy predicted this and said this, is your spiritual sense. And frankly, if anybody asks you for any information, especially money or credit card or anything, you just delete it. But you must be very wary of this. It's all over the place. It's also in the news. They're going to try to affect the elections by having fake things on there. You've got to trust your spiritual sense about who's who and what's going on. And be very wary of that.
Yeah, like Mrs. A said, they're working day and night. So.
They're working day and night, yeah.
We've been warned for over 100 years.
Yes, we have. All right, so now we'll get into the responsive reading and putting on the armor of God. And so, Nancy, you wrote on that.
Yes, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I found various commentaries. Put on the whole armor. The special emphasis in this verse is on the whole armor, not mainly on its strength or its brightness as an armor of light, but on its completeness, providing against all the wiles and all the fiery darts of the evil one, leaving no one point unguarded by a carelessness. To put on the armor of God, given us, that is, by God, is declared to be to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hence, its completeness corresponds to the divine perfection of his true humanity. We are to grow up unto him in all things, to put on his image in all the harmony of truth and righteousness, of peace and faith, to receive and use his salvation, and wield the spiritual energy of his word, that ye may be able to stand, either to fight or rather to overcome. For he that loses the victory is said to fall, he that gains it to stand. Against the wiles of the devil. The devil uses arts and stratagems as well as force and violence. Therefore, if any part he will assault you where he finds you weakest. Our Redeemer is almighty, and in the power of his might, we may overcome. Thought that was a perfect ending.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. And another beautiful article sent by Carrie, she talks about the standing fast in the Lord. And she said that in this article, which was by Ella Hogue, Standing for God, the only way that you can stand fast, especially when error is trying to knock you down, is to stand fast in the Lord. If your motive is for God, if your motives are right, if your motive is love, if you really love something, you will stand and you will stand and you will stand and you will stand, and nothing will knock you over. And people will say, what the heck is going on with him? I can't budge him or her. If it's in the Lord, if it's not in the Lord, if you're trying to just stand for your own being, your own comfort, your own whatever, you'll get knocked over very easily. Yeah. But when you stand for the Lord, when you know, you see people who have a cause, a righteous cause, they will stand. And it's admirable. We see them. Certainly, what did Mrs. Eddy? Christ Jesus, they crucified him, for heaven's sakes. He still stood and he rose from the dead. You're undefeatable. If you stand in the Lord. Florence?
No, I said Paul.
Paul, yes, Paul. Absolutely. David, when he had to, I love that story now that we saw it on the House of David. Yeah, he went before everybody was mesmerized by that giant, day and night, night and day. I'm going to kill you all. He had them all so scared. And David was not mesmerized by the evil and the era, walked in and said, what the heck are you all looking at?
You've been listening to this for
Yes. So what's the matter with you? He came with the clarity of the Christ because he knew God was with him. And that's how he ran to meet Goliath. And he said, how dare you uncircumcised come before and try to defeat the army of God? Are you kidding me? And with one little stone, he took him down. Don't forget those stories. If you're standing on what's right, on what's principled, I don't care how much air blows. It will not knock you down. We were taught here, you stand with principle, with a capital P. Principle stands with you. Mm-hmm. And so it does.
Well, that's in the responsive reading, too. You know, the very first thing, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. And what is the whole armor of God? What is it?
Our thoughts.
Our oneness with God.
And it's what you know to be true. How little it might be, what you know to be true about God, about God's creation, about whatever, what little you know to be true is the armor. And if it's the truth about God and God's creation, you put it on. And you don't put anything else on. You don't dilute it.
That's what's so beautiful about this responsive reading. It gives you everything. You know, loins girt with truth, breastplate of righteousness, you know, preparation of the gospel. You know, we have to have that foundation in the Bible and of course, in science and health. And then, you know, you protect yourself with the shield of faith and you use the sword of spirit. I mean, it's like it's a complete armoring of our thought each day.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it's a reminder that we are in a warfare, aren't we?
And it is a reminder of the history. Don't forget anything that God has done for you. That makes me feel so confident that he will again. We can't just ignore how good he's been in the past and think he's not here now.
Yeah, that's what David did. He recounted his
right.
His I defeated testimony. The lion. I defeated the.
Yes, he can't remember. That's why we give our testimonies. Remember all the things God has done for you, all of them. You think about them. You don't sit there and think about, oh man, I've had a terrible life. No, that's not going to help you much. However God has helped you, remember that. Hitherto the Lord hath helped me, hitherto he will. And then you're strong in that might. And here again, it's the same. Yes, and the sword of spirit is the word of God. That's what was, you know, Tony or Lenny was talking about. The word, you combat it with the word. That's why I call it your arsenal. And when when Jesus, we've talked about this, Jesus was tempted of the devil. What did he say?
Get behind me, Satan.
Behind me, Satan.
And also, before that,
he said,
It is written.
Thank you. It is written. He knew the Bible, whatever the Bible was at that time. He combated error with "it is written," blah, blah, blah. And
who wrote it?
God.
Almighty.
That's right.
I mean, there's a reason why it's the best-selling book in the world forever.
So, yes, remember that, to put on the whole armor, and there's no little place where it can get through, because it's all there, all those wonderful things. Standing, gird in the truth, know what's true, you won't be tricked by error. The breastplate of righteousness, you're right yourself, you're right with God, you've done the right thing. Preparation of the gospel of peace, you're not aggravated and angry and hateful toward anybody. And then you have the faith. And that's so important, to have the faith.
And part of that armor is gratitude, which is God-given. There's a wonderful article by Rosalie Moss where she says, to be grateful, even if it's for a potted plant on the windowsill or a bird flying by. I mean, you know, you can always find something and amplify it. And that is a destruction of that ingratitude that would say, oh, you know, my life stinks and look at this and look at that. Just to build that gratitude up.
Thank you very much. Absolutely. Very important. That's why joy and gratitude, two essential ingredients to any healing. And in the lesson, and I love this, and I'm sure you all do, but you hold thoughts steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true. And you will bring these into your experience proportionably to the occupancy of your thought. That is a law. That is a rule. So if you're not having the enduring, the good, if you're not having good results, and you're not holding thoughts steadfastly to the enduring, the good, and the true. And it might take some time. You know, that was another thing. This was, I guess we won't have time to read it, but Chardell had wrote something about learning to wait.
Yeah.
What was the name of the article?
It's called Patient Waiting by Helen Hickson.
Thank you. And it says that it takes a while sometimes. And what is patient waiting? You can.
Well, she calls it, I'm going to skip, okay, over to another paragraph. She said it's humility, courage, loving kindness, right activity, perseverance are all called into during the waiting time.
Thank you. So it's not like you're just lounging around not doing anything. It's active waiting, active. And then it gave examples of 40 years of waiting with a lot of people. Moses, who else? Well, Mrs. Eddy, things didn't just happen. Jesus was a carpenter before he became a healer. In our church, this thing is this law case and everything. That went on about 40 years. 40 years seems to be the number. But not to discourage anybody, but don't complain if something's taking a while. And when remember this, because I tell myself this, 40 years is nothing when we're dealing with eternity, which we are.
You're going to be doing something during those 40 years. You might as well be overcoming.
You might as well be overcoming. You're being tested. You're being, if things happen real fast, then you haven't learned. When things take a long time, it really changes you for the better. You put off the old man for the new. You're forced to do that. That's a good thing.
And it keeps happening. I'm still working at it.
Abraham waited for a long time.
Who did? Who?
Abraham.
Abraham, absolutely. All the good workers. Everybody. You're tried and tested.
Well, and, you know, think about it. We all have lessons to learn. That's why, you know, our life here on earth is a schoolhouse, as someone once said. So we're all going to learn. We're not all going to, you know, disappear and be totally, you know, spiritual and not see one another. until we get there. So, you know, accept the fact that we have things to learn.
Yeah.
And be humble enough to learn them.
And maybe, go ahead.
Maybe the waiting time seems like a waiting time because we look with our senses, with our mortal senses instead of the spiritual view.
Yeah, because ultimately there is no time. So, and Mrs. Eddy says, in science, animal magnetism, mesmerism, or hypnotism is a mere negation possessing neither intelligence, power, nor reality. It's a mere negation. That's why when you're in the negative human mind, remember you're under hypnotism.
Right.
When you're saying, oh, this didn't work, or that's not working, or nothing's coming out, nothing. Who is saying that? It's not God. If you're in the negative human mind, you're under a mesmerism. Wake up, stop it, get out of it, start declaring the truth. And also, the wrong thought should be arrested before it has a chance to manifest itself. Be quick with this. Don't sit and listen for a half an hour and then say, oh, no, no, get away, get away, get away. And if the wrong thought comes, no, the hell you say, whatever comes to you, get rid of that thought. Don't play with it. It's not playing with you. Lawrence?
No, otherwise you give it the legs, you give it the life it doesn't have already, and then you want to break it down. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And in this lesson, we have two beautiful Psalms, the 91st and the number 27, both of whom I love and have memorized this. You should as well. That 91st, a beautiful, I think, explanation of it by Gliss Knapp, which is beautifully recorded by Karen on our website. And we have it there, the 91st Psalm by Gliss Knapp. We're running out of time, so I won't get into that. But all of you can study and work with it. But what struck me this week in that lesson, because I didn't know noisome pestilence. I thought noisome was loud, but it's noxious to health and destructive is the definition. And pestilence, contagious or infectious disease that is epidemic and mortal. Epidemic affects a lot of people. Mortal
kills you.
Mm-hmm. And then corruption or moral disease, destructive to happiness. And then profligate habits carry pestilence into the bosom of domestic society. And profligate is ruined morals. So when our morals are ruined, and the Bible tells you this, watch out for the pestilence. And we had one recently, didn't we? Yes. And what does it try to do? What does it try to do but mesmerize us? As I think I said last week, everybody's still, oh my gosh, you're going to do all this symptoms and this, and everybody's going to die. And if you don't take the vaccination, you're doomed and blah, blah. Now, that's just how the hypnotist works. That is how the hypnotist works. That's why you don't watch it. You don't listen to it. You negate it. You know the truth of it. And then all these wonderful things. What does the 91st Psalm say? He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And the buckler is a shield that's 4 feet long, covering the whole entire body. You won't be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Again, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. You're not going to be afraid of it. You're going to be able to say, the hell you say, I don't believe you. And in that beautiful pamphlet that Linda put together for us, you know, a wonderful article on that, Cure for Epidemics, and it quotes a 91st Psalm, and it tells you to work with it every morning, and also the Ten Commandments of the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm. But fill your thought up with God, your communion with God. And Mrs. Eddy says that too. And your thought is so filled up with the truth era can't touch you. It can't. So,
No space for it.
No space for it. No. So, I wanted to give you this Max Dunaway, and I have to see if I can have time for, I guess, for something to end. Okay. Well, okay. I'm just going to give you the Max Dunaway poem then. Let's see here. This is from Daily Angels. Evil loomed before me dark as night. Impenetrable, it seemed before my sight. And as I stood aghast and fearful, with horror-stricken eyes and tearful, I could not see a single ray of light. And then I said, well, I may not see through this cloud of sense. What better can I do than to go forward through it singing of all the good God's love is bringing, and thus lift thought into the good and true. So I went forth with song and much of cheer, unworried that the foe appeared so near, till through the dark clouds I saw streaming God's rays of light, all bright and beaming. The cloud had vanished when I lost my fear. Oh, why is it we make so much of wrong, until through fear of it we lose our song? We magnify it and explore it, only to bow ourselves before it. Yet it and fear to nothingness belong. Evil is but a cloud, a mental haze, that breaks before our songs of prayer and praise. And then no more its poor illusion can bring into our thought confusion, for we shall walk with God in all our ways. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.